Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, and joining me today is Stephanie Nigro and Angela Thompson to talk about the safety and efficacy of varenicline, bupropion, and nicotine patches in patients with psychiatric disorders who wish to quit smoking. The results of the EAGLE study were recently published in April 2016 in The Lancet. Dr. Nigro is on faculty at MCPHS University in Boston, Massachusetts, and Dr. Thompson is from the University of Colorado Skaggs School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences. Stephanie and Angie co-authored a commentary for iFormRx entitled "The Eagle Has Landed: Reassuring the Safety and Efficacy of Drugs for Smoking Cessation and Mental Illness." Stephanie, Angie, thank you for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you, Stuart, for having me. Great to be here.
So, Stephanie, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study entitled "Neuropsychiatric Safety and Efficacy of Varenicline, Bupropion, and Nicotine Patches in Smokers with Psychiatric Disorders, EAGLES, a double-blind randomized placebo-controlled trial" to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
Well, the EAGLES study was a large, multi-center, randomized, double-blind, triple-dummy, placebo-controlled trial that compared the safety and efficacy of varenicline and bupropion to nicotine patch and placebo in patients with and without mental illness. Overall, there were more neuropsychiatric adverse events experienced in the psychiatric cohort compared to the non-psychiatric cohort, but there was no difference in the incidence of these events among the four individual treatment groups. Regarding efficacy, there was a significant increase in abstinence in both the psychiatric and non-psychiatric cohorts that received varenicline compared to those that received bupropion, nicotine patch, and placebo. And all of the study drugs performed significantly better than placebo.
So, Stephanie, what do you believe are the key strengths and weaknesses of the EAGLE study? And are there any sources of potential bias or confounders that are present in this study that you believe may have impacted the results?
Well, the EAGLE trial was very well designed. You know, as I just mentioned, it was randomized, double-blind, triple-dummy, placebo-controlled, and it took place in 16 countries and enrolled more than 8,000 patients with and without psychiatric illness. And various psychiatric diagnoses were represented, including those with mood disorders, anxiety, personality disorders, and even psychosis. However, while the overall study design was large, certain cohorts, such as those with personality disorders, were rather small. And the study was also not powered to detect the differences in rare events such as suicide. Additionally, patients in the study were followed very closely over the 24-week period, and formal smoking cessation counseling occurred at each of these visits. And we know, in practice, these types of ideal follow-up procedures don't always occur. Lastly, certain confounders such as sex and dependent severity were not examined. However, there are plans to study these along with other variables in the future.
So, Stephanie, one last question for you. Do the results of the study finally put to rest any concerns that clinicians should have about the safety of varenicline or bupropion use in patients with mental illness? And are there any patient populations where you'd still avoid their use?
Well, I think a little yes and a little no. The EAGLE study found no difference in the incidence of the neuropsychiatric events in each of the treatment groups within the psychiatric cohort. So I do hope this provides reassurance to clinicians regarding the use of these agents in patients with stable mental illness. However, it's important to note that patients were only included in the psychiatric cohort if their condition was treated as stable or if they were in remission. Therefore, the EAGLES trial really does not provide any evidence supporting the use of varenicline or bupropion in patients with unstable or acute psychiatric illness. Additionally, patients with substance abuse disorders were only included if their substance abuse diagnosis was secondary to another qualifying psychiatric condition. And given the high prevalence of substance abuse among those with mental illness, these restrictions greatly limit the generalizability of the findings.
So, Angie, I want you to imagine you're seeing a 36-year-old African American man in clinic who's been referred to you by his primary care provider for smoking cessation. Now, this patient has expressed a desire to quit smoking because his male partner said to him, "I want to move in with you, but it's not going to be possible if you continue to smoke." So the patient admits that he smokes at least one pack per day. It's his mid-teens. It's something he enjoys to do with his friends during social occasions. He knows that it's unhealthy, but many of those in his social circle smoke, and it's a way to relieve stress. He's tried to quit cold turkey twice in the past 6 months, but it's never lasted more than 48 hours before he's caved in and had another cigarette when offered by friends or when drinking alcohol. The patient also admits that he's suffered from depression on and off much of his adult life. He attempted suicide at the age of 19. He believes his feelings of hopelessness at that time were exacerbated by his family ostracizing him when he publicly admitted that he was gay. Since that time, his family has grown to accept his sexual orientation, but he still has periods of depressed mood, anhedonia, and poor appetite. He currently takes citalopram. His last major depressive episode was a little more than a year ago. Would you recommend a smoking cessation drug for this patient?
Absolutely. In the United States, we know that nicotine dependence and smoking rates are much higher in the LGBT community compared to the heterosexual community. Nearly a quarter of LGBT adults smoke, compared to only one-sixth of heterosexual adults. In addition, research has shown that there are barriers to this community obtaining tobacco cessation services. In a study by Burns and colleagues, they found LGBT patients were 5 times less likely to call the available state smoking quit line. We know that the success of smoking cessation attempts increases when patients receive both behavioral counseling and pharmacotherapy.
So I hear that you are in favor of using an agent. What agent would you pick, and why would you favor that agent?
Well, shared decision making with a patient would be extremely important here. I usually practice with the mindset that unless contraindications exist, patient preference should really guide therapy selection. For this particular patient, it's my opinion that based on the information we have, no agents really appear off limits. The EAGLE study did demonstrate that all three study medications were better than taking no medication, and that varenicline showed superior efficacy when compared to sustained-release bupropion and the nicotine patch. So, in terms of efficacy, varenicline is a great starting point. Then the question really becomes, is it safe for this patient? While he does have a history of a suicide attempt, this suicide attempt was over 15 years ago, and the trigger for the event has resolved. He does still experience some episodes of depressed mood, but this last major depressive episode was over a year ago. Therefore, I would consider his psychiatric illness stable, and if the patient is amenable, I would recommend varenicline titrated to a dose of 1 milligram twice a day.
So, what about non-pharmacological strategies?
The most important non-pharmacologic strategy for any patient is a formal smoking cessation program. The program I typically recommend is a telephone counseling service such as the state-run Quit Line. There are also individual and group counseling options available, as well as web-based counseling services such as www.smokefree.gov. Another non-pharmacologic option that has some evidence is massage therapy, so that could be a recommendation for this patient. This patient should also be advised that he may experience some mild but usually time-limited symptoms like cravings, irritability, or anxiety, and these symptoms may mimic some of his symptoms of depression that he's experienced in the past. So it's important that we would provide him with strategies of how to manage these symptoms if they do occur.
And so, Angie, are there particular behavioral strategies you'd focus on in a case like this?
Yes, absolutely. I usually endorse the avoid, alter, or substitute framework, which encourages avoidance of triggers when possible, altering the trigger, environment, and/or the routine, and finally, substituting the trigger for something else. For this patient, alcohol appears to be a major trigger. Educating the patient to avoid or at least limit alcohol while trying to quit should be a major focus in this situation. During the early phase of quitting, it would also benefit this patient to avoid his friends that smoke. If this is not possible, it's important for him to discuss his quit attempt with them and ask if they could possibly refrain from smoking in front of him.
Well, I want to thank you, Stephanie and Angie, for joining us today to discuss the Eagle study and the evidence regarding the safety and efficacy of varenicline and bupropion use in patients with mental illness. It's clear from your comments that you believe pharmacotherapy is a cornerstone for smoking cessation and that there is minimal risk, at least in patients with a history of mental illness that are stable and treated. Well, tell us what you think by posting a comment. Only iFormRx members can leave comments and use our other interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free. Sign up today. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes signing off.